affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Okay.
Mayor Taylor, I'm getting reports that people can't hear us.
Right. It sounded like the item on the screen there was on mute, so maybe we try it again now. You could call on Councilmember Muscoviac for the roll call.
I'm here, present.
It looks like he said something, but we didn't hear him. He came off a mute.
Present here. I'm off mute.
I can hear now. I couldn't before.
Okay. Well, Jim Muscoviac is present.
I'm up here. We're adjusting our volumes here on things. Okay, Jim, you want to give us a shout here again? Councilmember Muscoviac, can you give us a shout saying you're here?
I am here, yes.
Okay, we heard it this time. We had a problem with a volume off on or down too low on our speakers here was the problem. So, okay. Then we've got our quorum as the clerk has determined. We've read our vision statement and we move on to approval of minutes for the August 14, 2023 meeting. And I will move to approve the minutes of the August 14, 2023 meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by the mayor and seconded by, Councilmember Taylor and Councilmember Muscoviac at the same time here.
I've recorded Councilmember Taylor.
Okay, she's recorded. Councilmember Taylor is the first one. So. The minutes have been previously distributed. Are there any members of the public who wish to make any or offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Anybody here in the room, anybody online, please raise your hand if you do. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? I think we fixed one thing in our work session already. Okay, are there any objections to unanimous consent for the approval of the general meeting minutes for August 14? Okay, hearing none, the motion is passed to approve the general meeting minutes for August 14, 2023. We come to mayor's request for agenda changes. We'll be dropping item 11. Hold on, let me just make sure that's the right one. Nope. I guess it's the, it would actually be item 16. It was indicated as 11 on my cheat sheet here, but that's the executive session item at the request of our city attorney who wasn't ready to have anything to. Didn't have anything yet to present to us on that item. So, I'm going to, we have a pretty concise agenda here tonight. We should be able to get through it pretty quickly. And I'd like to try to make the meeting as concise as we can tonight. So that'll be my plan. We'll move on to the staff reports then. Is there any, excuse me, was there anybody else that had any request for reordering anything in the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll consider the agenda set as posted. And we'll move on to staff reports. And the first is from
Mayor. I just wanted to just make sure you knew that there was no executive session on this agenda. So there aren't any agenda changes. I'm sorry to back up on you. I just wanted to confirm it.
Okay. Our program sheet here indicated one. So,
all right. Thanks.
That's great. So our librarians are both here and we look forward to hearing from them. Welcome, Leanne.
Good evening, Mayor Taylor. Good evening, Council. I am excited to be here. This is our quarterly report for June, July, and August. I'm excited Melissa Gomez here. She's been an amazing addition to the library crew. She's worked really, really hard, and it's been awesome to have her experience and her knowledge on board. She's also handled with a lot of grace and much more patience than I think I would have shown. Some of the headaches we've had with transitioning her email and the consequences that that has had for technology, that has not gone very well. And she's patient and kind and has handled it well. So thumbs up to Melissa for that. I don't want to hit every bullet point. I'm a big believer in letting people read what we printed because you can read that and I don't need to read it for you. I just like to go through a couple of the highlights. If you're looking at the category of upcoming, current, and past programming, two of the first three are awesome because they're going to be in partnership with Gustavus School. And that has been something that has been missing over the last few years. I met with Principal Karen McSpadden last week and am working pretty closely with a couple of the teachers already. And it's just really, really nice to see that partnership between the library and the school grow back together. The Halloween tricks and treats we're actually doing with the library and the community center and the school, and then in partnership with the athletic director, because everybody does something, and instead of doing it in a non-coordinated way that kind of best serves families, we're meeting and we're making a plan together and going forward. And I love that. I love when we can achieve that. The spooky read is something that we started last year, and the person in charge of the leadership grant for Gustavus School reached out, no surprise, Jesse, and said, hey, the school has to do these interactive things for literacy and leadership. What about if the school partnered with the library to make that an event for all the kids? So it was awesome. The other thing I'm excited about is we're going to do something called book tasting. And that's printed weird, but if you can scroll up to a picture of a red checkered tablecloth, that is right there. That's the event that we're hosting at the school that we're inviting the classes to come over to. And it's a chance to actually make a menu of their favorite authors and favorite genres and whatnot. So that's coming up and I'm excited about it. If you scroll down a little bit farther, you'll see a picture of our seed library. We're placing a formal call for all gardeners in Gustavus to consider sharing some of the seeds you're saving. Seeds, especially if they're from successful plants. If you have great zucchini seeds or even a great tomato seed, I know that's really difficult in Gustavus, and are willing to share the seeds, we have seed packets. And the idea is to grow the seed library into being a place that is filled with locally grown seeds. And if you did well with them, with your soil and the weather we have here, it's likely other people will do well with them versus most commercial varieties. So we're hoping to eventually have the Gustavus Library seed library stocked with local seeds. And we have information at the library on how to do that. So if you're not yet a seed library or seed saver, we have books and a pamphlet and everything put together. Just below that, you'll see a seahorse sticker chart. This was amazing. This was thousands and thousands of tiny little stickers. And the snapshot to the left is 4 or 5 people working on it. Many, 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 many people worked together to complete the seahorse. And the theme was, let's stick together, Gustavus, and look at what we can accomplish with teamwork. So That's something that the library is really pleased about, and it's hanging in the sunroom. Other notable things are listed underneath. We had a lot going on. Lots and lots of programs, lots and lots of activities. The list is there for you to read. Next, the next category is the status of active or upcoming grants. And we are still utilizing a grant that we were awarded in April of 22. It was from the Alaska Community Foundation, and it was given to us to offer library literacy camps, support our Books for Babe and our 1,000 Books Before K. And we have very carefully been spending that. And this summer, last summer, so summer of 2022, we had one camp. This summer, we had three camps. And each camp had between 10 and 14 kids in attendance. Camps are from 9 to 3. And we had three themes this year: Reader's Theater and Book Character Camp. And the kids were hilarious and talented and awesome. They wrote their own plays. They created their own costumes. And they did that after we had done some literacy learning about what book characters are. We had a nature and book arts camp, and thanks to Artemis, who came in and organized a bookmaking event where people could learn how to make a certain kind of pullout book. And then we used those books the next week in camp. And the kids studied all about birds, and then they did learn printmaking, and they printed their own birds and wrote haikus about their kid, the bird that they learned. And then our last camp was books and fishing, and we coordinated that with the park in order to, for them to have their fishing day. And last year we coordinated with the park too, but we only had four, maybe five kids come. We had a lot of adults and not very many kids. And so we thought if we did it at the same time we did fishing camp, there would be a little bit more interest and a little bit more awareness of it. And this year we had 22 kids, and it was mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would really like to send a thank you out there to is the park had staff, Megan Graham and her staff, partnered with us all summer for story time. And so it was half library staff, half park staff, and it was great programming for the kids. And we really, really enjoyed it and hope to continue that. If you stay on the grant subject, we learned not too long ago, a week ago, I think it was, that we did receive the PLA grant, which is Public Library Assistance Grant. This is a grant that we're awarded routinely, but something we can't count on, each year from the state of Alaska. And it's been long in coming and very delayed this year. There was a lot of conversation around that. And so we're very pleased that we did receive it, because that is a huge portion of our budget. We applied for an interlibrary cooperation grant. We have not yet received that, but we're hoping to. It's going to help us look at some of our technology updates we hope to make in the library. We did receive the OWL Online with Libraries Internet Award, which helps us reduce our monthly internet costs from $1,500 to $50. That's significant. If you go down to existing projects and programming, the outdoor library shelter is nearly complete. It maybe is complete because this was done a week ago. There was rain gutter that we were still waiting for and a few extra bolts, nothing structural. But we're really, really pleased with the shelter because people are already using it to stay out of the weather at the picnic table. They can access Wi-Fi, they can read, they can work. They're already putting their bikes in the bike rack, and it's pretty awesome to see it used as was intended. Upcoming programs, we're doing an art mural. This art mural is being funded through the donation from Alice Waverly for the memorials from her husband's memorial service. It is going to be a mural that will highlight and offset and bring attention to the awesome whale skeleton that we have, the orca whale skeleton. And a little short story, a 30-year patron of the library and someone who's lived in Gustavus for a long, long time came in after our last report, said that she'd been arguing with her husband because she didn't think we had a whale skeleton in the library. And when she was telling me this, we're like almost directly underneath the whale skeleton. And that's kind of been the reason why we want to do the mural, because it's a white skeleton on a white wall and it gets lost, and yeah, it's wonderful. And when I pointed up, she was like, "Ugh, I lost the bet." So it'll be awesome. Jess Mulligan is our muralist, and she's putting together some sketches. We've got all the materials we've been needing. And then Dean Michael, my husband, and Lou Cassiopo have agreed to build the frame for this canvas. So that's as volunteers. So that is coming up. We have t-shirts. We have t-shirts in new colors. The pictures are there. And that is it. I am open to questions or comments. I'm excited about what's happening at the library. I'm excited to work with Melissa. It's been a great thing to have her come on board. And I'll stop talking.
Thank you for the great report. There's always such great stuff going on at the library. And
thank you.
I have to say, I'm really proud of our library, you know, as mayor. And I think it's a source of pride to the whole community. And it's the work you guys do and these interesting programs and things that really make it such a special place. Any questions on the report? Okay, thank you very much. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, I just don't see it on here, but you also had an intern this summer, right?
We have an intern.
Which is a, that's just an accomplishment too, to provide that sort of guidance and mentorship for a young person.
It is. And what is awesome is that the camp, the Alaska Community Foundation grant will allow us moving forward to utilize having interns more. And then we've also included in the 2024 budget to have a summer intern for summer reading. And that's something that was traditionally done, but went away during COVID. And we're excited to have it back because both having youth in the library is awesome and something we seek. And it's rewarding to mentor a young person who's trying to figure out their path in life. And it's an income opportunity for a young person in Gustavus. So those are three really good things about all three of those. Thanks.
Sure.
And I think it's really good to see the coordination between the library and the school. It's a way that this community can support their schools. And I think that's really great that you guys continue to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. We had last year met with Superintendent Watkins, and he brought up the fact that we didn't have a memorandum of understanding any longer. And we'd kind of put it on hold for right. And then we've been waiting till the clerk position is filled, but it's something that we plan to delve back into. It's important. Just kind of clarifies everyone's roles, and a lot of good information can be made. If it's a good document, it can be a living document, and a lot of good can happen from that. So that would be our intention, to make it a great document, not just a piece of paper.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've wanted us to conclude for some time, and the time wasn't right in the past, but I think the time's right now, and I'm looking forward to your leadership on, you know, what should be in it and how to make the best of our opportunities to cooperate with the school. So that's great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your fine report and the great work of the library.
Thank you.
Okay. The next would be our treasurer with the monthly financials, Treasurer Ben.
Thank you, Mike. Because we're still in the first quarter of fiscal year 24, there really isn't a whole lot of exciting stuff to point out on the P&L. So I just thought I would highlight a few things. We've already received 88.5% of our federal revenue for the year, and we and we've received in each category more than we expected. So that's looking good going forward. We are currently at 38.8% of our intended revenue across the board, and we've spent 18.2% of our budgeted expenses. So that's it for that. But something that I did think was pretty interesting was I received a sales tax revenue per collection month for Gustavus from the remote sellers, Alaska remote sellers. I have to go through the acronym in my head, but last year, the remote sellers collected $3.4 million that we would not have collected. And then after exemptions and other items, the net taxable amount was $2.675 million, of which we received $79,000 that we would not have gotten any other way. And so that has increased each year. It has increased, and I'm expecting that this year it will increase even more. So that's all I have, unless you guys have questions. All over the place.
Okay, we'll start with Councilmember Driscoll first.
So I'm just curious, on the GDFD income, it's a negative. I'm curious about that.
It's because the way that works is the Systems Design West, who's our billing agency, they deposit money. When they receive checks from the insurance provider, they deposit it into our account. We do not know who that money, where to apply it to until the end of each quarter. So when we put it into QuickBooks, it creates a negative amount. When I go through and I add, right now there's just payments. When I go through and I add invoices to those payments, it will then turn that into a positive amount. Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you understand that one. I think.
I'm sorry.
Councilmember Lewis had her hand up first, and then you.
Thank you. I was just wondering about, says total marine facilities 101.4% of the budget at the top of page 16. Is that right?
I don't know what you're looking at. On what I have.
Top of page, says item number 3 at the top. It's the
101 and that's maintenance and repairs and insurance.
Just says total marine facilities.
Right, but it's expenses. And so it's that at the beginning of the fiscal year, we pay all of the insurance and everything up front.
Okay.
And so it came out to a little bit more than we had budgeted, but then we will be audited in the middle of the year and we will get a rebate.
Okay. Cool.
For insurance.
I knew you had an answer.
Thank you.
Councilmember Owens has a question.
I guess back to the GVEFD income, that minus $11,259 under the percentage over budget, does that represent ambulance billings that have been made for this period?
It's because we budgeted that we would make $9,000 and currently we're showing that we brought in negative $2,259, which goes back to what I said to Janine. That negative amount will change into a positive amount. And hopefully by the end of the fiscal year, we will have brought in $9,000 in revenue and have been able to apply it to an account. Right now, it's just sitting there. If you look at the Excel spreadsheet, the unrestricted funds, I think it would be below this in the packet. Yes. So at the top, the top box, it has
transport billing in progress.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the amount of money that we have, that we believe. It's confusing, but it's not that we're not at negative $11,259. We haven't made the $9,000. And right now, because I've put in payments without invoices, it's showing a negative amount.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't concerned about that. I was just wondering if this represents, if the $2,200 represents sort of invoices that have been made for ambulance trips.
Not for ambulances, for payments that have been put in by me from Systems Design West without anything to apply it to.
Okay.
And it's a It's an odd process. I'm not 100% sure that it has to be as complicated as it is, but because of the software that we use and the fact that we don't do very much ambulance billing, we only get the names of the patients once every 3 months, even though we get payments whenever they come in. So it's a somewhat complicated, but I think I've got a pretty good handle on it. And I believe that by the end of the fiscal year, you'll see that that number will have turned around.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, any other questions for our treasurer? Do you want to say anything about the closeout on last year? And
Just that we were pretty close. We've got one or two more things that have popped up in the last week that we want to pay for out of last fiscal year before we completely close it out. We have a really good idea of how much money we may be able to carry over, but we need to figure out how we want to apply that, whether we want to just apply it as carryover, because there's more than enough. So what do we want to apply to carryover, and what do we want to call surplus funds and put into AMLIP accounts? So we're just about there. And I would think by the next work session, we should be able to have actual amounts for the council.
And I think we'll have some proposals for
yes.
how to use the next month on how to make use of the money, how much to put into savings for capital, how much to pick up some to pay for some other opportunities in various departments. And we have the department heads making their recommendations to the city administrator now. So,
and that is something I took a personal day last Thursday, and then it wasn't something I was able to get to today, but I was going to send out an email last Thursday to the department heads, letting them know that now's the time to point out additional needs that you think that you'll have for your department, so that we have an idea of what, you know, what we have left over after that. We need additional funding for admin because we have a new clerk, and we're going to need more money for training and travel. The fire department is going to need more money for training. All the departments need more money for building maintenance. So there are things that we know specifically, but then I wanted to get an idea of what everybody wanted so that it's not hey, we've got $100,000. There it is. You know, it's here's the needs. And so in that way, we get a true idea of what we need to save and what we have to spend.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Ben. And that takes us to our city administrator's report. And we have our city administrator, Kathy Leary, online. Good evening, Kathy.
Ben, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. Well, sorry I didn't get this in for the packet, but the greatest news, of course, is we have a new city clerk, and I'm sure you've all met Liesl Barker tonight, who will be sworn in. We're very grateful to have this position filled and look forward to her being at City Hall, and please welcome her and her family to Gustavus. A septage update. So I think we discussed this last time, but as you know, there was a little accident with the smaller septage pumping truck. And so they've been unable to come over and do the smaller pumping, even though they've done a substantial amount over the course of the summer. But Trevor Richards will be coming over on Tuesday and Thursday next week, or this week, sorry, to pump out two more of the larger truckloads from the holding tanks. And then he hopes to make one more trip to get some more households before the end of the season. He'll need to bring the big truck out since the smaller one is inoperable at the moment. And he's looking for another smaller tanker to purchase from down south. So if anybody knows anybody that's on that list, and they should, you know, maybe get the word back out to him so he can make sure that everybody that can possibly have their needs met can be, because they're bringing the larger tanker out. It's going to depend on access for that larger tanker. So they've done a really good job, except for the accident, of getting a lot of households done this year. So we consider this to be a fairly decent success for the community. The tower project is complete, and Sol reports there is already a noticeable difference in radio communications. He'll be able to provide more details when he reports out next of the exact, you know, the exact improvements to the radio, with the radio tower. For the new DRC building congressionally directed spending requests that we had put in several months ago, I had asked Dana from Senator Murkowski's office. So I've been following the different press releases and when things pass out of the subcommittees and committee appropriations, but it was a bit confusing because the project was in the subcommittee appropriations, but it wasn't included in the most recent press release of projects, which came out of that same committee. So I wrote to be sure we didn't get, you know, we didn't get taken out. And she said the Gustavus project got through the Interior Appropriations Committee and through the full Appropriations Committee. The bill has not been scheduled for the full Senate floor yet. And she's got a whole bunch of acronyms of all the things they're going to be doing, you know, to keep that project in the spending bills and on track. So I guess all I can say is no news is good news at this point. And we're just got to keep our fingers crossed that we will stay in those spending bills. A lot of you are aware that the governor vetoed the PFAS bill. We're still hoping for some sort of resolution so they can stop the, you know, AFFF deployment at airports. But we also have disposal methods for rural communities we need to pay attention to. And so we're hoping that they're going to be able to figure out what else they might be able to do about that. Don't know yet if they're, I mean, it was a huge bipartisan effort. So I would think they'd have a, could override the veto, but I don't know if they're going to go there or not at this point. Last week's infrastructure office hours resulted in Gustavus being able to join a group of municipalities to work on an application for a USDA community wildfire defense grant. So for people who already have plans in place, they can actually propose projects, but we don't have a plan in place. So AML is helping a bunch of cities sort of in the aggregate apply for a community wildlife defense grant, wildfire defense grant, and they'll manage, track, and report on it, but they'll assist us with our information and in helping us to get a protection plan. And our chief, fire chief, will be the primary contact for this process, but we'll all help work on it. I'd like to thank Shelley Owens again, who stepped up to assist with the election paperwork and all the processes. Now that Liesl's here, hopefully she can step in for all of that. Wednesday's the deadline for applications, just as a reminder for seats. So the mayor and I have been working with Craig Tornga, who's the new Alaska Marine Highway Services Director and our Systems Director. And because we had asked for them to have a better explanation of what the $5 fee was that they called the port fee, because a lot of people thought it was implemented by the city. They changed the title, but their technical people didn't take off the old title and added an additional fee in error. And so basically anyone who called the 800 number, they didn't get charged twice. And anyone who used the online reservation system who got charged twice will be issued a refund. He's working with his folks on that to make sure that there's no more glitches with it. And if there have been some people who have, you know, noticed this and it's been, you know, out there as a sore spot, and he's really working on trying to get that fixed as soon as possible. And finally, I submitted a cybersecurity risk assessment grant via the State Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Alaska Municipal League was negotiating for bundled pricing from a vendor to municipalities who applied. Once the assessment is complete, if they find that there's any gaps identified in the assessment, then in future years, you can apply for funding to address any of those gaps. And because we have a managed services provider, I said, well, if you have to review them and us, and they have other municipalities that they manage, don't you only have to review them once? And they found that, yes, that was the case. So we were able to get a further discount on that. I haven't heard back whether we got the grant or not, but it was pretty much a bundled thing. So I think anybody who applied will probably be able to get it, but I can't guarantee anything at this point. So that's my report tonight. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Questions for our city administrator?
It's not entirely a question, but I think I understand that it's the administrator's birthday tomorrow. And if that's the case, I think we all want to wish you a very happy birthday. Kathy, wish you were here.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Driscoll has a question or
something. All right. Yeah, thank you, Kathy. And I appreciate all that you're doing and all this information. And I'm wondering if, because this is not in our packet, if there's some way that we get a electronic copy of the report after the fact.
Yes, I apologize. I didn't have time to do one before I left. And there is a copy that was sent to the clerk. They can either email the whole council a copy, or I guess that's what they can do. They can email you all a copy. Some of this news came in just in the last couple of days as well, so it wouldn't have been on an initial report.
Thank you.
Okay, Madam Clerk, if you could send out a copy then to everybody. Thank you. Okay, any other questions for our city administrator? Okay, thank you very much, Kathy. And that takes us on to public comment on non-agenda items. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only and not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you'd like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and re-mute you until it's your turn to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And of course, we'll use appropriate language always. You'll have another opportunity to comment at the end of the meeting. So do any members of the public have a comment on a non-agenda item? Watch my screen here for a hand to pop up. Looks like we don't have any comments from the public this time, but we'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting. We don't have anything on the consent agenda tonight, so it'll take us to ordinance for public hearing. And the first one is FY24-03 NCO capital project funding to AMLIP reserve. This is as introduced last month, and this moves a substantial amount of saving money that is in our checking account into an account that is interest bearing. Mr. Treasurer, would you like to give a brief review of this for anybody who's not doesn't remember this from last month?
Yes, it is what you said. We're moving surplus funds from the checking account into the AMLIP account in an attempt to bring our checking account down into an acceptable range and to make sure that we're getting the most back from the money that we have by putting it into our AMLIP accounts. It's $300,000 is what we're moving.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was looking at the right one here as we proceed. $300,000. So do any members of the public wish to speak? We'll open the floor for public testimony, and the time is 7:45 as we open it. If you'd like to speak, please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public hearing then at 7:45. And we would we'll move to the council for comment and a motion.
Point of order.
Yes.
We need a motion first.
That's right.
Okay.
I thought so. You were we have a motion from Councilmember Muscoviac, I believe.
I move the council pass an ordinance for the city of Gustavus providing for the amendment of the city held accounts in fiscal year 2024. It's ordinance FY24-03NCO.
Thank you. A second.
I'll second that.
We have a motion from Councilmember Muscoviac, second from Councilmember Taylor to adopt FY24-03NCO capital project funding to AMLIP reserve as introduced 8/14/2023. Is there any council comment on this item before we go to a vote? Pretty straightforward, and I think we're all up on top of this one. Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, could you please repeat who seconded it for us, though?
The second was Councilmember Taylor.
Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Owens. Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis.
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac.
Yes.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item 6 on the agenda, which is approval of FY24-04NCO AMLIP FY24. This is funding to the remove and replace account. And I'd like, again, the treasurer to give us a quick summary of what this one is.
Okay, so it's repair and replace.
Repair and replace.
And so this is money that the council approved during the budgetary process to put towards repairing and replacing the infrastructure based on the 10% or 10% over 10 years. I can't remember what the rule is called, but it's $16,545.71. It's the same amount that we moved last year into the repair and replace account for those, for our future infrastructure repair and replacement needs.
Thank you. And that's, remember, one of the items that we budget each year. And so all this is just making that transfer that was budgeted when we approved the operating budget for this year and puts that money into savings for future infrastructure repair and replace. Okay, do any members of the public, I'll open public hearing at 7:49. Do any members of the public wish to make a comment? Hang on a second. Okay, do any members of the public wish to make a comment on this before we go to the motion? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment hearing at 7:49. And we'll come back to the council for a motion. And we have a motion from Council Member Lewis.
I move to adopt FY24-04 NCO AMLIP FY24 repair and replace as introduced on 8/14/2023.
We have a second.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Lewis and seconded by Councilmember Owens to approve FY24-04 NCO AMLIP FY24 R&R. Do any council members have any comment on this agenda item before we go to a vote? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on FY24-04 NCO?
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens? Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item 7, FY24-05 NCO AMLIP Gravel Pit Fund. And I guess I can give a quick explanation of this. Once again, this is one of our budgeted items of the year. Every year we put money into our gravel pit fund for use to make improvements at the gravel pit infrastructure improvements. And we have a $6,000 contribution to that fund in our budget for this year. So the time is 7:51, and I'll open the public hearing on this item. Do any members of the public wish to make a comment on this annual gravel pit fund contribution? Okay, I'm not seeing any, so we'll close the public hearing at 7:52. And we'll come back to the council for a motion. And I believe we have Councilmember Owens on the ready to make us a motion.
Okay. I move to adopt FY24-05 NCO AMLIP Gravel Pit Fund as introduced on August 14th, 2023.
Okay, do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Owens, second by Councilmember Lewis, to adopt FY24-05 NCO AMLIP Gravel Pit Fund as introduced August 14, 2023. Do any council members have any comments or on this item? Okay, seeing none from the council. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens? Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thanks. That takes us through those routine things, and we can move on to something more exciting. Item 8, swearing in of our new city clerk, Lisa Barker. And I'll call on our outgoing city clerk, Karen Platt, to swear her in. This is a great pleasure.
I, Liesl Barker, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the State of Alaska,
the Constitution of the State of Alaska,
and the ordinances of the City of Gustavus, Alaska,
and the ordinances of the City of Gustavus, Alaska,
and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially,
that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially
perform the duties of the office of city clerk to the best of my ability.
Perform the duties of the office of city clerk to the best of my ability.
Okay, moving on new business, we have DY 23-10. It's a resolution and establishing a policy and procedure for restricted funds and AMLIP account management. And I will read the, well, let's see. Now we got to start with a motion on this one first, I think, because it's new business. I believe we have a motion from Councilmember Taylor prepared for this one. Right.
I move to approve resolution CY 23-10, a resolution establishing policy and procedure for restricted funds and AMLIP account management.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second it. Okay. I'll second it.
We have a motion by from Councilmember Taylor and a second from Councilmember Driscoll to adopt resolution CY 23-10, establishing policy and procedure for restricted funds and AMLIP account management. And
could you repeat who seconded that, please?
Second was from Councilmember Driscoll.
Thank you.
And I think the next thing we have to do is read. We'll start by reading. I'll read the resolution, and then maybe we can have a comment from staff on what it's about from our treasurer, just a summary. So this is resolution CY 23-10. Resolution establishing a policy and procedure for restricted funds and AMLIP account management. Whereas the City of Gustavus's annual operating budget continues to yield a surplus every year, and whereas the City of Gustavus's current policy of moving funds from its investment accounts into the city's non-interest-bearing checking account prior to the start of each capital project cost the city interest income in excess of thousands of dollars each year. And whereas the city or the Gustavus City Council has instructed the city treasurer to create a policy and procedure that outlines the correct steps for allocating funds from one account to another in a manner that produces the highest yields from the current monetary assets. And whereas formal action is needed to adopt policy and procedure in order to manage restricted funds in the future, now therefore be it resolved that this the Gustavus City Council adopts the document entitled Policy and Procedure for Restricted Fund Balance and AMLIP Account Management as presented by this resolution. And we have discussed this at length in a couple of work sessions, but I'd like the city treasurer to please give us a just at least a summary of what it's about. We don't usually read the whole policy and procedure out in the meeting. So.
Basically the city has a number of AMLIP accounts where we have been putting our surplus funds in order to get the best interest available to us. And I believe that when Phoebe Vanslow took over as the treasurer, that she, based on advice or direction that she got from someone else, she set the accounts up into a capital projects current, capital projects long-term, repair and replace, road maintenance, gravel pit, and reserve, with the intention of doing what we now are the policy that we are now trying to incorporate. It in the beginning, I believe that's what she had attempted to do, but over time it fell apart because there wasn't a policy. It was just a procedure that she was working through. So what we've done is we've now created a policy so that anyone can come in to the treasurer job and know what each account is for and how best to utilize them. The biggest changes or the biggest actions being A, that instead of taking money from capital projects long-term and putting them into the checking account, we will now, through the NCO process, put the money into the capital project's current account where it can be tracked. And if that money is needed, it can then be put into the checking account. Whereas before, it would have just been put into the checking account, where some of the funds that I moved out last month had been sitting in there since 2018, not acquiring any interest. The other major changes, if that's the right word, is that we've removed the road maintenance account. Originally, there was a AMLIP road maintenance encumbered account, and that was based on the National Forest receipts money that we were receiving. And so we had to make sure that that money was separate and was only being used for road maintenance. Now our road maintenance budget exceeds the amount of money that we get from National Forest receipts. So the road maintenance unencumbered account is no longer needed. So we've removed that. And the third is based on council suggestions. We've taken the AMLIP reserve account, which was just a holding account for money we couldn't quite figure out where else to put, and we've given that account a reason and a direction. So from this point forward, I'll start working on the NCOs tomorrow to try to get the AMLIP reserve account up to the amount of this current fiscal year's budget, which is $1.178 million. And so the idea will be that going forward, we will always try to keep the reserve account at that amount so that if all else failed and we ran out of money everywhere else, we would still have at least 1 year's operating funding for at least 1 year in the reserve account. And so I think that's, unless anybody has anything more questions, I think that.
Okay. If you'd stand by when we come back to the council, sure. We'll, if they, in case they have a question, we can call on you. Okay, just a minute. Let me catch up where I am on my plan here. Okay. We need a motion then from Councilmember Lewis, I guess. Well, do I have the right one here? No, sorry.
We've already had a motion.
Yeah, we already have the motion. I forgot to check off that we'd done that. So, okay. Do any members of the public wish to make any comment on this item? So please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to the council. Do any council members have any comment on this item or any questions for our treasurer about it? Councilmember Taylor.
Just more of a general comment on this. I know this is something that we've all discussed at length, and a big part of why we've really had the impetus to put this into place now is because the current interest rate environment is as it is. So, you know, these funds that are now being more efficiently allocated are earning us almost 5% annually. I mean, that makes a significant difference. But I think, I guess, you know, this is being recorded, and if any future council in a near zero interest rate environment finds this again, I think this is something that in some of these might be worth reconsidering as the environment changes, if it does change, at least you know, the risk-free interest rate dropping and if we're not getting a return on these fixed assets. So something that I guess the intention I saw in this was really trying to keep our policy nimble to the current interest rate environment. So, and I'm happy to see where it's come around to. So I guess I'll take this opportunity also to say thanks, Ben, for your work on making this happen.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you to the council for I mean, like you said, we went through it over and over again, and I think we've come up with something that everybody's happy with. So thank you to you guys as well.
Councilmember Lewis.
Yeah, I love it, and thanks for working on it. I think this was needed. I just have one question about the AMLIC reserve. The last couple sentences, it says, beginning of the new fiscal year, treasurer shall assure that the AMLIC reserve account balance equals or exceeds the approved new fiscal year operating budget. That's great, unless the AMLIC reserve is used because of some, bad circumstances. It seems like it's going to take a little while to build it back up, right? So I'm just wondering if that language ties us into, I mean, is the treasurer going to be, say we use, say it's $1 million, we use 800,000 to in a tight year, we're not going to be able to assure that it's up to $1 million the next year. Does that make any sense? I just don't want us to put anybody in a tight situation. And I'm not sure if that last sentence, if necessary, treasurer shall prepare an NCO to adjust AMLIP reserve balance to meet or exceed the policy minimum. I don't know if that to me reads that if you have to meet or exceed there, but if we ended up using this reserve in hard times, the treasurer would not be able to meet that for several years. And maybe I'm reading it wrong. Hope so, but.
Well, unfortunately, I have an old copy here in front of me without the final wording. And so I could go back to my computer and look, I can't see that from here. The way I remember it reading, I guess, and I shouldn't be guessing, but the way I remember reading was the It does say assure.
We change that to attempt to the best of the ability, like one word.
That was then in one of the previous iterations, it did say something like that. I don't know. I don't think that. Sorry to say at this point, I don't think that I'm the one that put shall assure, so I'm not 100% sure. A number of us edited it. I'm not sure where that, maybe Mike has a.
I think the intent here is that at the, when we do our, when we approve our budget, we know what our budget is for the next year. And then the treasurer would, If we don't have enough money in our AMLIC reserve already, the treasurer would then adjust it by moving from one of our other AMLIP accounts money that is not otherwise allocated to that account so that we start the year with the reserve at least having a minimum equal to, and it's a minimum of. It's all money that is not otherwise appropriated for something. So it's there as a backup for the operating budget. So they would adjust it at the start of the fiscal year to do that. Now it's possible during the year, if we adjust our budget upward, it could fall below that minimum, but we generally are going to have a lot more money in there than is needed to cover the budget because we just have that much in reserve. If at some point we're not running as much of a surplus, we're not maintaining that, we would have to either think about retracting some appropriations for something and moving some money into that. We'd also have to make sure that we don't commit to capital projects that cut into the amount of money that we have assigned in the reserve. So, but we have a savings for capital projects in a capital account that's separate from the reserve. And so that reserve should be something that we don't really have to touch for anything. We've got more than enough in, you know, backup money that we can always keep the reserve equal to at least the annual operating budget. Did that help?
Yeah, I mean, my question still is, you know, it says exceptional circumstances when this money would be used. And in that case, I would assume that some of our other accounts would be low too. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but I guess I'll just ask at this point, do you feel comfortable with that wording as the treasurer right now? Or does that make you a little nervous?
You know, with today's, the way that it's, with the city of Gustavus's current monetary situation, I do not see any problems assuring that I can adjust an account to, you know, but there's always the possibility that next year we have a $2.1 million budget. It would be very hard for me to add in that much more money to get it up to that. So I'm weary to say one way or the other. We've talked about this for 3 months now. But we should get it right. And if this isn't right, we're here to discuss it. If this isn't right, then we can either A, amend it, or B, we can back to the drawing board and do it next month. So I guess it's up to what, I see everybody's got their hand near their thing. So let's hear what everybody thinks.
Okay, Councilmember Taylor.
I can jump on here. I agree. I think that's duly noted. So thank you, Councilmember Lewis, for pointing that out. And I think at the risk of undermining what the definition here of the AMLIF reserve account, I think it could be worth adding a simple amendment with a qualifying statement. It says something along the lines of, at the beginning of the new fiscal year, comma, as is possible or as is reasonable, the treasurer shall assure that the AMLIF reserve account balance equals or exceeds the approved new fiscal year operating budget. Because I think that doesn't completely undermine the entire thing, but leaves enough generosity for, you know, obviously, if we've just drawn down this reserve account, that's not going to be possible or reasonable. I think that, yeah, conveys that spirit.
Okay. I guess I don't particularly agree with that, because I think what we're trying to do is
point of order. You can't. We need a second before we can discuss this amendment. And
I don't think he made an amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
He's discussing the possibility of it.
We were in the hypothetical, so I can see how that got mixed.
Well, yeah. So if you'd like to make an amendment, you can put forward an amendment, and then it'll need to be seconded, and then you can discuss it. And I would also request that amendment in writing for the clerk.
Yes.
Thank you.
So now I'm confused. Does this mean that we can't discuss it and theoretically without it?
You can.
We can. Okay. So what I was going to say is, when we talk about, you know, we're sort of thinking ahead to future councils, and I don't like to kind of have, you know, to kind of tone it down, since I've been kind of advocating for, you know, this rainy day fund concept. But I think if you look if you read it in context here, the third sentence is, it is the intent of this policy that the AMLIP reserve account balance be maintained. It's not saying it must be, but it's saying, so the way that I read this is the intention of how this money will be reserved, and this is how it would be done. This is how we'll do it.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes?
If we want to discuss an amendment, you actually need to make the amendment, and then you can talk about it.
Nobody's made an amendment. They're discussing aspects of the policy, and nobody's decided yet whether they wish to amend it.
Could we do something as simple as, say, attempt to assure? And that would, or is that not?
I like the way it's written.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the problem is that big an issue. This is a policy and procedure. We would only really get in, you know, what we've done is tried to say that we want to keep in reserve as much as our operating, as an annual, 1 year's annual operating budget. we've never had any problem being able to do that, you know, even though we didn't officially have that policy. We've always had more than, way more than our operating budget in savings. And the concept is that is to show that we have our budget backed up to the extent that if we had an unexpected shortfall or an unexpected extra expense, that we have money in reserve to use. Now, if it turned out that we were at some point in the future, the council was finding that it's hard to maintain that much, they could change the policy. But I think it's a policy that we can easily operate for the foreseeable future. So I think it's simplest probably to just leave it the way it is. It's easy to change policy and procedure if a future council wants to. But this says that what we're doing now is we are demonstrating that we've got that money in reserve. We're not using it for something else. It's there. We can back up the whole operating budget as if we got had no income whatsoever for a year, we could still run the city. And that's what we're trying to demonstrate. Plus, that's money we're making interest on. Councilmember Taylor, something else?
Yeah, to that end, and given Shelley's understandably strong feelings about this, I think that you're right. It's relatively simple to amend policy if a future council needed to. And I think if they're in a position where they're drawing from the reserve fund, they're probably not going to be averse to making a small policy change to make it realistic to that condition they'd find themselves in. So I would be happy to vote for this as is and leave it ever so slightly more sternly worded and leave, you know, maybe a slightly bigger hurdle for a future council to think more seriously about whether or not they draw the fund and what that looks like. And it's not like we're, you know, I guess hobbling them to make a change if they actually needed to. So I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, we're not really tying the hands of a future council here. So they can okay, any other comments on this? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens? Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. I think that sets us on a more clear operating policy for how we use the AMLIP accounts and how we demonstrate our fiscal responsibility. So I'm pleased to have that passed. Okay, that takes us on to item 10, CY23-11, resolution appointing election officials for the 2023 municipal election. And do I have a motion, I believe, from Councilmember Lewis.
I move to adopt resolution CY23-11, resolution appointing election officials for the 2023 municipal election.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
And moved by Councilmember Lewis, seconded by Councilmember Taylor. To adopt resolution CY23-11, resolution adopting election officials for the 2023 municipal election. So this is something we do every year at this time. And I will read the resolution. Resolution 23 or CY23-11, a resolution by the City of Gustavus appointing election officials for the 2023 municipal election. Whereas the City of Gustavus Code of Ordinance 5.10.130B requires that for each municipal election prior to each election, the clerk, with the approval through a resolution of the council, shall appoint at least three city voters as election officials, judges to be the election board at the designated polling place. And whereas one election official shall be designated chair of the board, the election officials shall not be council members, candidates for office, or immediate relatives of the candidates. And whereas if an appointed election official fails to appear and subscribe to the oath on election day or becomes incapacitated during the time of the election or the counting of the ballots, the remaining officials shall appoint a qualified voter to fill the vacancy. And whereas the City of Gustavus Council hereby authorizes the following qualified electors: Karen Platt as chairperson official, and the rest of these will be election officials: Bree Olson, Jay Carpella, Susan Brooke, Yarrow Platt, Don Walker, Liesl Barker, Sylvia Martinez, and Gus Martinez. Whereas the clerk may appoint as many election officials as needed to conduct an orderly election and to relieve the election officials of undue hardship. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council approves these electors as the 2023 municipal election officials. Okay, do any members of the public wish to comment on this action item? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to the council. Do any council members wish to comment on this, other than to be thankful for Councilmember Owens for organizing this and for all of these people for being willing to step up and help make our democracy work? Any other comments? Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have roll call, please?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens? Yes. Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. People have their work cut out for them. It's a lot of work doing that and making sure it works well. Okay, that brings us to item 11, FY24-06, amendments to Title III Personnel, Chapter 3.05, Section 3.05.010. and Section 3.05.020, and to schedule a public hearing for October 9, 2023. And let's see, we had, I'll make the motion on this one. I move to approve the introduction of FY24-06 amendments to Title III Personnel, Chapter 3.05, Section 3.05.010, and Section 3.05.020, with a public hearing taking place on October 9, 2023. Do I have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mayor Taylor, seconded by Councilmember Moskoviak, to approve the introduction of FY24-06, amendments to Title III Personnel, Chapter 3.05, Section 3.05.010, and Section 3.05.020, with public hearing taking place on 10-9-2023. Do any members of the public wish to make a comment? Well, oh, let's, maybe we should, before I go to public comment, have a little more discussion or a description of what we're doing here from, I think, from our treasurer who's worked on this.
Actually, Mike, I worked on the policy and procedure. Kathy worked on the
policy
ordinance.
And procedure, not on this.
Right, okay. Kathy did this.
Yeah, I could call on our city administrator then to do that one. Would you like to summarize, Kathy, what
You're talking about the ordinance right now?
Yeah, this is the ordinance take out the holiday stuff and so forth.
Right. So basically, at the work session, we updated the entire policy and procedure, recognizing that rather than have the holidays in ordinance, we would just remove the mention of holidays and any of the instructions that went along with that and move it into policy and procedure. And so we're just replacing the policy and or the ordinance, saying that it was repealed, to please see the policy and procedure and under which section. And then the policy and procedure was worked on by a couple of us, mostly the treasurer, to respond to various changes that were outdated, and that the council then decided during the work session to, you know, sort of clear up a couple of things. And so the only thing that the ordinance change does is to repeal. So if you can stop there, Brian, please. You can see where it says repealed. And it'll be October 9th, because you can't amend the ordinance until it's been put in for a public hearing. So see policy and procedure, Title 3, benefits for eligible regular employees. And that repeals that section from the ordinance and references the benefits policy.
Okay. Okay, well, with that explanation, that it's that on page 43 in the packet, you can see what's being struck out, 43 and 44 of the packet. We actually have that following the policy and procedure in the packet, but since you got a little confused there, that will be going back to the policy and procedure next. So, and this is to introduce this change so we can take action on it next month. Do any members of the public have any comment they'd wish to make on this? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to the council. Do any council members have any comments to make on the introduction? Remember, we'll have public hearing on this and final approval next month. This is just to introduce it. And so people can be aware we're doing this, making this change to our code. Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please? Was there? I did call for. Oh, was there somebody with a public comment? I didn't see it on my screen. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking on the screen. Okay. Thank you.
I was hesitant to comment, but I have some concerns about the wording and the intent of these changes. And I would really like to ask the council to look at it clearly and carefully, because as an employee, I don't believe the council or the city has a right to determine how I use my healthcare days. If I'm sick, I'm sick. And I'm not sure that that's clear. And the way it's worded, it falls to the intention of whoever the city administrator and the council is at the time. And maybe the council and the city administrator at the time likes how I'm using my sick days, but I don't feel like they should have the right to deny them to me if they disagree with it. I'm not articulating this well. I wasn't prepared mentally to do this right now, but I think it's something we need to really look into.
So my point of order for the next item on the agenda,
the
actual policy and procedure. This is just the change to the ordinance with regard to the holidays, which so that we took the holidays out of the ordinance and we cover them only in policy and procedure instead of in both things.
All right. So my comments are directed towards the changes of sick leave.
To the policy and procedure, which is the next item.
Yes. I can repeat them then, or we can just move them forward to that.
Well,
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Any other public comment on the ordinance, introduction of the ordinance to take the holiday listing out of ordinance and refer only to the policy and procedure for the holidays? Okay, I guess we have no others, no other public comment. Do any council members have any comment on this? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on introducing this item and scheduling it for public hearing next month?
Yes.
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 This is Jim Muskoliak. I can't hear anything.
Jim, can you hear us now? She was just calling you to vote on.
I'm sorry.
I can hear you. Yes,
my microphone wasn't on.
Okay, we'll start over then with the roll call.
Okay, I think I started with Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Mikowiak.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens? Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. So that'll be on the agenda for approval in October. And that brings us to item 12, CY23-12, updating the benefits policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees. And we have a motion from Councilmember Driscoll, please.
I move to adopt the resolution CY23-12, updating the benefits policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees.
Hey, do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Driscoll, seconded by Councilmember Lewis to adopt resolution CY23-12, updating the benefits policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees. And we need to read the resolution on that for the which I can do here. Okay, resolution CY23-12. It's a resolution by the City of Gustavus updating the benefits policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees. Whereas the City of Gustavus values its employees and intends to compensate employees competitively within our region, and whereas the City of Gustavus wishes to provide adequate benefits for its qualifying employees for their health and financial security, and whereas the City of Gustavus recognizes that from time to time, these policies need to be updated and amended, whereas the City of Gustavus recognizes that formal action is needed to further clarify procedures under the City of Gustavus policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees. Now, therefore, be it resolved that effective upon adoption, the City of Gustavus updates its employee benefits policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees as attached. And I would like now to call on our treasurer to summarize or to identify the changes. Remember, we've had a benefits policy in place for many years, for about 10 years, I think the first one was written. Now and then we make little changes to it. So the policy has been very useful and a reference to administrations and to employees always about what the benefits package is and how we operate it. So we have a few changes that we are making here to add a holiday and do some other things. So Treasurer Sadler, would you please give us a review of the changes?
Yes. So basically the idea was to try to help make us a little more competitive with other employers in the area who offer similar benefits to their employees. And so the main changes that we made, we removed the original dates that commented on whether or not you were prior to a date or beyond, because no one working for the city now was on insurance prior to those dates. So we removed those. We took out anything that said that referenced probationary periods. That was one of the main catalysts for doing this, was that why do we make employees wait 6 months before they can start taking advantage of the benefits that we offer? Some of those benefits are applied retroactively anyways. So we removed anything that had to do with probationary period. Again, in procedure, we removed another date. We updated the when the enrollment for health insurance would be effective based on our desires and the insurance company policies. More removal of the probationary period. We added in Martin Luther King Day. And that is more or less what we did. We took out, or we changed the, there was some issues with the sick leave, how it was being applied compared to how it was written into the policy. So we updated that so that the policy reflected more accurately the procedures that we had been doing. Those are the changes that we made. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to respond to Leanne. If it is, then I will, and if not, then I won't.
I think that would be helpful if you'd like to respond. Was that actually, did that relate to a change, or was there a change in wording?
Okay, there
that affected how an employee's coding of their time card is approved as a time card, or
right. So the bullet that she's referencing, I believe, is it says under sick time, the following provisions apply to the sick leave benefits. And the fifth bullet is an employee must receive approval from his or her supervisor for sick leave. In cases of emergency illness, an employee must let his or her supervisor know about the absence as soon as possible. That is not something that we changed. That has been the City of Gustavus policy all along. I believe that that's a pretty common practice, that if you're not going to be at work, that you let your supervisor know. It's not a let your supervisor know that you want to take sick leave and then she does or does not allow you to do it. It's if you're not going to be at work because you're sick, please let your supervisor know, I think is the intention of the statement. So I don't know if you're reading it differently, Anne, but it's not, that's always been there. That's a pretty common policy.
It's not public comment yet.
So that's all I have to say.
Okay, that's the summary then.
The whole intention with updating the policy was just to remove the probationary period and to add in MLK Day. That's what we were trying to update with
those.
Those
are the main changes. So do any members of the public wish to comment on this? Leanne, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ben, can you clarify for me your comment where you stated, and I don't remember the exact wording, that there was a discrepancy between how the sick leave was utilized and how it was being applied? You yes. just said that.
Yes. So the wording says, the wording says sick leave may accrue without restriction. Annual sick leave accruals allocations begins July 1st of each year and end June 30th of each year. But A, we were restricting accrual and each year it was being reset. And B, you are not actually accruing sick leave. At the beginning on July 1st, based on your base hours, you're given that many hours of sick time. So if your weekly base hours is, if you work 1,560 hours a year, then you receive 30 hours of sick leave on July 1st. It's not accrual. So we took the word accrual out. And because it says accrue without restriction, we removed the and end on June 30th of each year, because if you don't use all your sick time this year, it will go to next year. But that is not the way that the previous treasurers had been. They had not been doing that. At the end of the fiscal year, if you had sick time left over, they were resetting your sick time. So we made it clear that that's not, that we're not doing that any longer.
All right. Based on that, I'm super comfortable with this. What I think is at issue that's greater than this is the staff was not included in any part of this conversation at any time. I know that the council had directed the city hall staff to try to include the directors of each department as we move forward. But again, like with the budget, we hadn't heard anything about it until we read about this in the city minutes. And I would urge the council to direct the city hall staff to, again, start including your directors in conversations, especially regarding policy and our jobs. I would hope that would sometime come into fruition. Thank you.
Before you leave, any questions for Leanne? Councilmember Driscoll.
So, I want to clarify what you're saying in terms of you're comfortable with the statement that says an employee must receive an approval from his or her supervisor?
No, I'm not comfortable with that.
Okay, thank you.
I don't believe it's their job or right to be able to approve my sick leave. In my personal situation, I have X amount of sick days. There's been times where I've been sick and it didn't even begin to cover the actual time I needed. But I didn't ask for additional pay for that. I just asked to use what I had accrued. And I think it's a slippery slope giving the city government the right to approve that.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, well, looks like Kathy Leary has her hand up to comment here. Kathy?
Yes, just to reiterate, as Ben said, when we put this forward, it was to broaden the policies, it was to improve the policy for the employee to be able to actually carry over sick time from year to year, to allow them, if they had any at the end of the fiscal year, to carry it over. It was to clarify that policy that it can be cumulative rather than ending at the end of the fiscal year. It was to give everybody an extra holiday. And the language, as Ben said, is pretty common in most HR, policies for sick leave, just to give folks a head up of when they will intend to take time. Nobody, as far as I know, has ever denied any sick time. I don't know if that was a practice before, before with other employees or supervisors. But that there was no intention of changing that verbiage or language. And, if I think we even added or subtracted a couple of words that the employee can work with their supervisor. So it was up to the supervisor and the employee to figure out when that leave would be taken, not just the supervisor. So we actually relaxed that. I think Ben didn't mention that one, and we didn't have the strikeouts here. But since this was a positive policy to the advantage of all employees, including new ones, I guess we'll have to let people know when it's a positive impact as well. But the negative connotation has not happened since I've been there, and I don't know that it's happened in the past. And some folks in other organizations, you know, they use it as a management tool when there is abuse, and that hasn't happened here, but it does allow for management to be able to examine that and look at it in case that happens, which has never happened with us. So nobody's been denied that, and so there was no, you know, thought to need to change it.
Hey, thank you. Let's bring it back to the council now for comment, and I'll have a comment on that last item too. Councilmember Driscoll.
So yes, at our work session, I did suggest that we change the wording on that. And I'm going to say, and my suggestion was that an employee must notify his or her supervisor of his or her use of sick leave. And the reason for that is I have a very strong objection that health or medical decisions are to be made by anyone other than the person themselves or their medical provider. And this was talked about at the work session, and I would like to have perhaps some discussion and then potentially put in to change that, to have the wording be that they notify the supervisor as opposed to guest approval.
Any other comments before I comment on that one? Councilmember Taylor?
Yeah, I'll echo that I was surprised to not see, because maybe I'm misremembering the work session, but I recall we had a pretty explicitly discussed that the verbiage as is in the document here now is basically operates on the implication that the employee and the management are going to be operating in good faith with each other. And given that our intent with these changes was to make us a more attractive employer organization, that we thought it would be a good idea to make that good faith explicit in the verbiage of the policy. So I was surprised to not see that change made, or maybe there's a small change that I'm not realizing without having the strikeout here, but I'll echo that. And I would support an amendment if we wanted to one.
And let me interject a comment here. The way I interpret this last bullet is it has to do with approval of time cards and the coding on time cards. At least the first sentence of it does. There's nothing in here that suggests that the supervisor is going to make some judgment on whether a person is really sick or not. It really has to do with approval of time cards and the coding of hours. So when the employee submits their time card, they code their time as regular work hours or paid time off if they were taking vacation, or if they were sick, had to go to the doctor, whatever, they code that as sick leave. You have our benefit policy has a pretty decent provision of total hours of sick leave. And if somebody does use, as is the case with all employers, if you use up all your sick leave, then you have to use paid time off after that. And then after that, you would be on a non-pay status unless there was some other special arrangement made for them. But so this has to do with coding of the time, and that's what's being approved. For example, the only case where sick leave coding would likely be disapproved would be, the most probable case would be if the person had run out of sick leave and was still coding it as sick leave rather than paid time off, and was saving their paid time off for more vacation time or something. The other possibility might be, and I'm just thinking theoretically here, an employee goes to, say, needs to go down to Seattle for a medical appointment and takes sick leave for that, but then spends another 4 days down there vacationing and codes it as sick leave. And if the supervisor detected that, they might question, no, you have, the first day was obviously sick leave coding properly, but the rest of it, you were enjoying a vacation down there, so that gets coded as PTO. So that might be an example of where a supervisor might disapprove a coding of sick leave, but I'm not aware of that ever happening. I don't think it would with any of our employees, but that's just a theoretical thing as to where the supervisor might not approve a coding of hours or a day or whatever for sick leave. So to me, that's what that's about. It's not about the supervisor approving or deciding whether the person was sick or not. Usually we take their word for it, I would think. Councilmember Lewis.
Yeah, I would recommend if that's the intent, that it should be reworded as such, because I read it the same way, that must receive approval. Sounds like it's in advance to me. So there'd be ways to reword that to say, employee must let the supervisor know about the absence as soon as possible, and then the supervisor must approve upon...
Must approve the coding of
right,
the time.
Something like that. That would work. One thing that struck me about this, I'm not sure if you guys talked about it last year or last week, but right at the top, this benefit can be used for personal sick time to care for a family member within the employee's household. I know at the National Park Service, it's for immediate family. So I could go take care of my mother, for instance, while she had surgery, not in my household, but immediate. And I think there's definitions of immediate family, but I would suggest that change too, because obviously our immediate family, our kids don't even live in our household anymore. So it'd be nice to broaden that slightly.
Hey, any other comments?
I have one.
Well, let me call on Councilmember Driscoll, and then I can come back to Kathy for further response too.
So, as far as the PTO goes, the change that we had talked about and the change that's on here was not what I thought was going to be on there. And I suggest the same, that an employee must inform his or her need for a planned PTO. And then scheduling of the PTO will attempt to balance the needs of the individual and the department and facility. And so in here, it's saying that the employee must receive approval from his or her supervisor for planned PTO. My understanding that that was going to be taken off of here, and that the approval of the PTO is contingent upon the needs of the department facility. That I thought was going away, and we were adding that the scheduling of the PTO will attempt to balance the needs of the individual and the department slash facility. And so, because again, I think that we wanted to state that it was this balance of needs of the individual and the department was what we were going to be looking at, not that they were needing the approval. And so I'm suggesting that we look at that paragraph as well.
Well, now which bullet?
So that's because we're getting down under the PTO. It's the second to the last bullet. And so what was added was the scheduling. What was added is the third sentence. And when at the work session, when we were discussing it, I thought the intent was to get rid of the first two sentences and to then instead replace them with the sentence that's now the third sentence that says scheduling of PTO will attempt to balance the needs of the individual and the department slash facility. And it was along the same thought lines that we're not asking that the supervisor has to give the approval for it. And but that we wanted to make it clear that in, if they're taking the time off, that it balances the needs of the individual and the department.
Can I respond to that, please?
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yes. Yeah, so in the work session, you're right. That was what it, we at the work session was decided to leave the sick leave piece as it was, and it was decided by, and you and both Councilman Taylor talked about if you're making this sort of a friendlier user attractant for new employees, whatever statement you just said, yes, for some reason that change was not included in here about the PTO where you work together to determine the best time or whatever statement you just said on that, that was to be included in here. But I'm just going to suggest that one of two things, that you might consider amending it to what you said in the work session you were going to put in this particular spot, but that some research is done collectively with everybody before you start changing the sick leave policy. That can always be reintroduced at the next council meeting. So, because getting the language together for something like that tonight, I think is going to be difficult, not this particular spot that you suggested last time, but I would say that if you're going to look at changing the language on the sick leave, that that needs a little more time and thought. So that's because otherwise you're going to be wordsmithing that for way too long right now, and it needs some research.
Could I say something too, Mike, based on what Kathy's saying, that at the work session last week, we had to have the whatever the changes were needed to be made at the moment so that Karen could get it in the packet so that she could go back and do her job with the park. And so I was doing everything on the fly. If I left things in, it wasn't intentional. And I think that if we try to do the same thing here tonight, we're going to end up with the same problem that we had the other night trying to do it on the fly. So this isn't the most important thing that the city has to do. And if we need another month to work it all through, I don't mind continuing to work on it.
Mr. Treasurer, if we put this off one month and, make some adjustments to it, could we make it retroactive to this month? We have a new employee who's just started that we would like it to.
We have two new employees, Mr. Mayor.
Two employees, that's right.
Yes. And so,
three that this impacts.
The PTO is already done retroactive from your date of hire. You just can't start using it until your probationary period is done. If the council so instructed me, I guess I could go ahead and front load their sick time and they could use that. I have already given each of them their 457B paperwork, assuming that this was going to get done tonight. So, I mean, I can do whatever the council instructs me to do as far as that goes.
Yeah, I think that would take care of my concern. Councilmember Driscoll?
So I think this is a really simple fix. And I think that if you're telling us that the statement that employee must receive approval for his or her supervisor for sick leave is not really the way it works, and instead this has to do with how it's coding on a timesheet, then it doesn't say anything in this about coding on a timesheet. So in the first place, so we don't need to go necessarily putting this about coding on a timesheet. But I do think that it would be a very easy fix to change this to say, an employee must notify his or her supervisor of his or her use of sick leave instead of saying receive approval, because in your discussion on it, you're basically saying that you would of course approve it. Well, then why do they have that? Why does it say they have to ask or receive approval? It seems that the wording should be the wording. And I mean, I take things very literally. If I read the sentence, it says an employee must receive approval for his or her supervisor for sick leave. Man, if I'm sick in the morning, I think I have to call in and say, hey, I need approval to stay home today. But this is, you're telling us by your description of the way you're interpreting this, is that's not what you mean. But I really think that's what it sounds like it means. And so I think what I'm hearing you saying, and when you say we needed to write this in ahead of time, well, we have comments by the public and by employees, and I think we should make sure that we listen to those comments and take them under advisement, especially since what you're saying is basically the same thing. And so I don't understand why it would be an issue to have it say that they need to notify them and to change that.
Any other comments? Anybody want to postpone or do you want to amend? Councilmember Lewis.
I just want to say it's great policies and procedures. I appreciate the time that went into this. We kind of went down the looking at the little problems, but overall, I think it's a really great improvement. And I don't know about whether we should do it tonight, or it sounds like if there's no huge hurry, if we can get the new employees their benefits, might be worth a little more time. But I agree with Janine too that it's probably some pretty quick fixes too.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yeah, I guess I'll jump on that same train of thought where I'm overall rather happy with the improvements. And I do think that broadly we can say that these are pretty big improvements that we're seeing to the policy here. And given that we are all relatively on the same page as to how these are actually being implemented on the ground right now, and all agree that there's not really an issue in the moment of how this is being actually carried out, it seems like we could just address this in the next work session where we have a little bit more time to, you know, to maybe address the two bullets as to, you know, the nuance of where and how approval must be sought or got for sick or PTO time, and then, yeah, move with I don't like feeling rushed and, you know, making an amendment and then doing it all under the formality of parliamentary procedure here and now and writing everything out, and it's already almost, well, it is now 9 o'clock. So I would say I'm doing this, not postponing this document and change here, but looking at making further changes in the next meeting.
So would you like to make a motion to postpone?
Mayor Taylor, I have a recommendation.
Yes, Madam Clerk.
Well, you can go ahead and process this motion now, and then maybe at the next meeting brings back something already adopted and then amend it.
I think that's exactly what I was suggesting we do, is just adopt this as written here and then make further amendments down the line so we can take these improvements, which are broadly improvements here and now, and then make further refinements in a future date, unless there's anything that someone is violently opposed to having in here, which I haven't gotten that as the general consensus.
Kathy, you still have your hand up, I noticed.
Yeah, I have my hand up because when we started to do this, so first of all, this policy and procedure, when people get hired, they read it and they sign it and they agree to it. So it's already been read and it's already been accepted as a condition of employment. So that's one thing. The improvements that have been made to it are a vast improvement over what we have. And if we have to postpone this, I agree with Councilmember Taylor in getting this off this evening, because otherwise the three employees who are on probationary status will have to wait an additional month to be able to use their leave. So, because they have to accrue it and then be able to use it. And the whole purpose of this to begin with was for them to be able to get their benefits upon being hired. And so we will be penalizing those people by not moving this forward this evening.
And it would affect health, the health insurance. There'd be a delay in health insurance?
Yes. Yes.
That's what we were trying to speed that one up particularly. So, okay.
The benefits outweigh the other concerns right now, because some of those concerns, while they may be valid, are not preventing new employees from taking leave.
Well, I can say that if the council wants to pass this one as is, I will commit to assisting in a second update of the policy, beginning, you know, as soon as we can get it on the agenda, which might even be next month. If you want to do that, so we can put this one into effect now and then amend it again next month, or by November, whatever it takes us to work through it in work session to make sure we're getting the wording right. I know council member or past councils have struggled with wording on benefits policy. It's not that easy to do, so. You know, I don't feel bad about us having, you know, some different views on this and what the wording means. I mean, if there are no further comments from the council, then we can go to a vote if you're ready. I don't want to rush you if you're. Is that okay? Okay. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on this item, please? I'm updating the benefits policy and procedure for eligible regular position employees.
Okay. Council Member Driscoll.
Yes.
Council Member Owens. Council Member Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Council Member Lewis.
Yes.
Council Member Makoviak.
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think that makes it's a benefit to our employees now, and we'll continue to refine it in the next couple of months or so as we'll have it on the agenda. Okay. That's item 12, and I'm following my cheat sheet, right? That takes me to mayor's report or council reports. I'm going to pass on doing an oral report on that. The report's in the writing. We've gone a lot longer than I'd hoped to tonight. So I just ask you to review that. And if you got any questions about it, by all means, give me a send me an email or something, and I'll try to answer it. So let's move on then to city council questions and comments. Let me say one thing here, remind you that after the October election, we have a review committee meeting on the Friday following the election, and in which the council meets as the election review committee. It's not a regular council meeting. It's just an election review meeting. And which we tabulate the ballots and determine the outcome of the election. So we need everybody here in the room, if possible, for that, because we need really all the council members to, because we have to have people counting and then observing the count so that we make sure that there are absolutely no errors. So let's all be sure to be. Let's see, what's the date on that election review meeting, Madam Clerk?
Hang on, we're getting a calendar out. It's the first, the Friday after the election.
It is the 6th. And attendance in person is required for this meeting.
Right. Usually that's 5 p.m., isn't it, that we do that?
I'll have to check what we did last year. It's either 6 or 7, but I think we're doing 6 just because for the people that are working. And
sure.
And sometimes it can take a long time to count. It just depends on how many absentees we have.
Right.
So getting started at 6 is probably what we did last year and what we'll do again.
Okay. Okay, I just want to put that reminder out so everybody's planning on that. Okay, let's move on to City Council questions and comments. Does anybody have anything they want to?
Mayor, did you do your report already?
What I said was I would pass on my report.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed that. We're multitasking back here. Thank you.
Yeah. And I didn't ask if anybody wanted to report on some project they're working on. So let's just merge that in with City Council questions and comments. And so does anybody have anything they'd like to raise, comment on, or report about something they're working on? Councilmember Lewis.
I just want to say I've really enjoyed working with you all. This is my last City Council meeting. And I enjoy being on the council. I just don't have time, as is evidenced by all the meetings that I've missed. And I'm sorry about that. But maybe someday when I have more time, I can come back. And I just really appreciate all the work everyone's doing. And keep up the good work. Thank you.
And we've appreciated your participation. Thank you.
One more thing I forgot a second ago, but I am willing to continue, advocating for safety from sexual abuse in this town. I do think it'd be good to have a council member on that team as well. So once the new council comes on board, just keep that in mind, who that person might be or if anyone volunteers, and then I can work with them and pass on everything, the information I have, and keep the ball rolling. Yeah. But I think it's great for the city to support that.
Thank you for volunteering to help keep that important thing going. Thanks. Yeah. Anybody else wish to?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to make you unhappy.
Probably not.
At Monday's or the Tuesday session, work session, and it wasn't in your written report for today, the mayor's report. You said that, I guess I shouldn't be speaking directly to you, that the city was going to be posting a position description for an emergency medical services coordinator, and that you already had somebody in mind. So I expressed concern that nothing had been prepared, provided to the council. There had been no discussion, no advance notice of this, and that I asked if I could get a copy of it. So I got a copy of it, but it wasn't distributed to the other council members. And when I sent an email requesting the copy, I had included Vice Mayor Kyle in it. And I said, I'm assuming, well, would this be on the agenda and in the packet? And you said, no, there wasn't going to be anything for the council. So I want to address that. I guess what I would like to see is that this be put on the October agenda so that it can be, the council can evaluate it. I think that I don't want to hold this up because I think it's, I support it and I think it's valuable for the temporary position, but I think it has to be done correctly. And since the fire department assessment is going to be taking place in October, I'm hoping that wouldn't cause any kind of problem with the assessment. It seems to me if the position were to be filled in October, that would be probably not a problem. So the reason why I think that that this was an improper thing is that, let's see if I can find my notes here. Mm-hmm. That because it's a new position, which, and I'm quoting from some of the ordinances that I've looked at. I can give you the numbers if you want, but it's a new position that alters a city department was a new position, and I think it also would have a bearing on the duties and responsibilities of the existing fire chief. It's an unauthorized appropriation of funding. The ordinances require that that an appropriation be done by ordinance, and I would hope that it could be simpler than that. But I think it's a problem with an unauthorized appropriation, and then an ordinance that the mayor signs documents with the authorization of the council on behalf of the city and with the authorization of the council. This is a lot of violations of ordinances in my way of thinking, and I would like to see it brought for discussion. I understand there's a mention of the word urgency in filling this, and if there's a question, we could go into executive session briefly to discuss the justification for this particular position. But I do think that that there's a good reason and good timing to have a 3-month or possibly longer. But I think it's introducing a new position, you know, with funding aspects to it without, you know, the council's involvement. Now, I think that's I think that needs to be corrected. So I would suggest that it be brought up in October, and then we do this, or we could have a special meeting if you feel that strongly that we need to move forward. I have talked with some people, including Dr. Vaught, today. So,
okay, thanks. maybe you're not aware of the, we have a temporary employment policy and procedure.
And, I am aware of it, and yeah, I've read it.
And, and we followed it exactly. So we have, this is a temporary short-term project position. And for a temporary position where you have funding in the department sufficient to cover it, the mayor or a council member can also raise a suggestion or a department head for a temporary position. The mayor reviews the, and the treasurer determines whether we have sufficient funding in the budget to cover it. And if so, the administration can put out a job announcement and hire somebody for a temporary position. So that's what we've done. This is not a short-term temporary part-time position is not something that councils normally get involved in. It's an administrative function. And it's just not the sort of thing that you normally bring to a council. That doesn't mean a council can't decide they want to get into it, I guess, but it is not normally the duty of the council to get into that kind of weeds in how the administration hires a temporary part-time employee. So that's how we saw it. And we have put out the announcement already. And we're looking forward to getting applicants, and we intend to move forward with it. So I don't see that it's in any way a violation of our policy and procedure. It's exactly as the policy and procedure says.
Well, yes, and I understand that there is a process for posting and hiring a temporary person within the role of the mayor. I forget what it is, the personal manager or whatever, but this is a different thing. This is and in that resolution for temporary position, well, for one thing, the DRC has temporary hires. There's a resolution dealing with that that's been approved by the council, and so the council doesn't need to be involved in that process. We don't have a resolution regarding temporary hires in other departments. And in the that temporary position resolution 2315, it refers to if there is a funding source appropriated for that purpose. There is no appropriation for a new hire in the fire department. So I think it's a violation and I can't see a way around it. And I've just done a scan of this. And is there a reason why we can't take it up in October? Well, you say you've already posted it prior. Can we do this retroactively? And give, I don't know if other people feel, have opinions one way or the other. But I think we have to address this not coming before the council.
If you want to put an item on the agenda, say as a resolution or a motion, I'll be happy to put it on the, you know, any council member who wants to put something on the agenda, you know, say a motion under new business, you may do that, and I'll be glad to put it on the agenda. But we'll mm-hmm. proceed with the hire is my intent. Councilmember Lewis?
So a question. How is this being funded? Is it in the budget and sort of being funded with just surplus or just base operating for the fire hall, or?
We have enough money currently in the budget for personnel for the fire hall, plus we have extra money in our salaries for the administrative function. Due to the fact that we didn't have a clerk in position for 2 months. We asked the treasurer whether we had appropriate funding to cover it, and he said yes. That was the treasurer's determination, which is the policy says that we need to ask the treasurer if we have funding for it.
I guess that, so there's lapsed salary. That makes sense. It does seem, I guess, I don't know the details on this, but it does seem like, I mean, at one point I remember there was talk of, you know, the library needing $5,000 extra dollars, and that had to be something that went through the council to approve that kind of budget change. But it does seem a little odd that then, apart from the council, that a person can just get hired, you know, temporarily. That wasn't in the budget to begin with. You know what I mean? So maybe just, I don't have an answer, but just, you know, in the spirit of transparency, it seems like the more these things are talked about, the better, in some regard. I guess that's all I have to say. I don't know much about it.
I'll jump on this really quick, and I'll say, just given our discussion of this at the work session, I felt comfortable with you moving forward with it. I had no qualms with the area you were taking the funding from. It felt more than appropriate to be taking funding from lapsed salary to use it for something. I guess we kind of maybe crossed a department there, but just with the urgency of the hire and how we had funding enough to cover the temporary position already appropriated in the budget for payroll, I didn't see anything. I mean, I can't admit that I was heavily scrutinizing this, but I didn't see a reason to.
I should add, in to your point though, if this experiment turns out to be effective, as we hope it will, then we might want to consider whether to make that a permanent position. And that would certainly require the council's approval, and we'd have to we'd have a lot more budget, a year's budget, to consider for that. So at that time, the council's involvement, I think, would be appropriate. But again, I think this is a minor thing that's the kind of thing the administration normally can do. And, you know, it's my decision based on my experience and so forth here, that it's the right thing for us to do, that going to be an effective thing in strengthening the fire department. Now, other council members, such as you, may see it differently, and of course, that's kind of the, I see it as the mayor's prerogative to do this. I'd be happy to support you for mayor this fall and let you make the administrative decisions. I think you would make good ones. They might be a little different than mine, but I would be glad to support you for
that. Thank you, Mike. I want to quote, and I want to make it real clear. In Resolution 2315, a resolution of the City of Gustavus adopting a policy and procedure for temporary positions. Item two under procedure, identify the funding source. I'm not saying we don't have the money. Got the money. Mm-hmm. What it says is the mayor considers the reason for the request and ascertains with the committee and the city clerk that adequate funds are available and appropriated for that purpose. That's a legal term of art, appropriated for a specific purpose. And that's our function as a city council, is to prepare the budget, review the budget, and this funding has not been appropriated for that purpose because it's a new position. So
that's your view, right?
Yep.
Well, you can bring a motion up in October if you
wish. What motion would you propose that I bring up?
But you'll have to decide that one. Okay. I mean, it's your idea, so mm-hmm. We'll be happy to entertain it at the time.
Mr. Mayor, our city administrator would like to speak.
Yes, city administrator. I'm sorry, I had lost my.
I just also wanted to point out in terms of the funding that there is a clause that says that you can move around funds throughout the budget as long as it's not more than 10% of the budget allocation or $1,500, whichever is more. And so in this, that is something that can be done without council approval. So I just wanted to interject that little piece too. I'm not arguing all the other implications. I'm just saying there is a provision for moving some funds around as long as it's not more than $1,500 or more than 10% of the budget item, whichever is more.
Yeah, that may be applicable here. I appreciate your raising that, and that's fine. We can deal with it next month, though, if you'd like to. So, any other questions or comments or? Okay, that brings us to, public comment on non-agenda items again. I'm not sure I'm right in my order here. Okay. We're at public comment on non-agenda items. So if any members of the public wish to comment, please raise your hand. And I'd like to call on Susan Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to sound a note of appreciation to the council for continuing to hold these meetings over Zoom. I appreciate being able to lend an ear to the topics that are being discussed, particularly issues of budget and personnel. And so thank you for continuing to Zoom the meetings. And I also appreciate the council members taking time and moving slowly to find just the right words for benefits policy and just the right numbers for the budget. So thanks for all your good work.
Any questions for Susan Warner? Thank you, Susan, and we appreciate folks like you who tune in and stick with it for 2.5 hours. Okay, any other members of the public have any comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, then I guess we're done with our agenda. We're to adjourn. We'll adjourn at 9:28 p.m. Thank you all for participating. Good evening.
So what about you? Are we thanking you for your time? Or are you
going to... Well, thank you for your time. That is second. Yeah. Give it. Which seat is that? what's important to know if you're encouraging someone to apply this?
Yeah, I'm running for the same seat.
You're running for
the same seat? I mean, no guarantees for the last month. There are just a couple things that I'd like to see through.
Yeah.